Bava Kamma, Chapter 1, Mishnah 3. This Mishnah is going to continue to teach the principles of the laws of damages, how payments for damages are determined, and the basis of what testimony the injurer is obligated to pay. Shum Kesef, the assessment of money. B'shave Kesef, and the value of money, monetary value of damage. Bifnei Beistin, are come decided before court, v'al pi edim b'nei chorin, and are decided upon by the basis of witnesses who are free, b'nei bris are Jews, v'hanashim b'klal hanezek, and women are included in damages, v'hanizak v'hamazik b'tashlumin, and the injured party and the injurer are both included in payments. So let's look at this. Shum kesef. Assessment of money. The Gemara explains that the assessment of damages must be in actual money. This means that if the court assesses the value of damage as what the damager pays, right? So if let's say A's cow caused damage to B's garment, the cow entered B's courtyard and it tore B's garment by trampling on it, and later it happened to be that B's garment caused damage to A's cow. So, you know, B left his garment in the public domain and the cow stumbled on it and broke its leg. So we do not say that since they caused damage to each other, the respective damages offset each other. Rather, we assess each of the two damages in money terms separately, and the one who caused greater damage to his fellow will pay the difference. Monetary value. So the Gemara explains that our Mishnah teaches that if the injurer died, and the injured party claims compensation for his damages from the dead man's children, then the children are only obligated to pay from the lands which they inherited, which are considered to be monetary value. They're not obligated to pay from movable property, which has the status of money since it can be easily sold. And the reason for this is because they're protected. Movable property of orphans cannot be mortgaged to a creditor or to an injured party. A special law to protect orphans. And before a court of experts, not of laymen, is when it's decided, and on the basis of witnesses who testify before the court about the damage, excluding the person who admits to a fine and is therefore exempt. This does not need to be done in front of witnesses. Even if witnesses came later, they're exempt. Now, the witnesses are not fit unless they're freemen and they're Jews. So it can't be Canaanite bondmen, and it can't be non-Jews. And when it says that women are included in damages, it means that the same laws apply to a woman as to a man concerning damages, whether she caused damage to others or whether others caused damage to her. Because it's written, and these are the ordinances which you shall set before them, meaning before everyone who stood at Har Sinai, which includes women. V'hanizik v'hamazik, the injured party and the injurer in payments. These are instances in which both participate in the payment of damages. For example, if a shor that only has not become a regular damager, it hasn't done this damaging on a regular basis. So if you have a shor that's a tom and it gores, the damager pays only half of the damage, which will be explained in the following Mishnah. The injured party therefore loses half the damage. This is how the phrase is interpreted in the Gemara, according to the opinion that payment of half the damage caused by a shor tam is monetary compensation. Rav Papa and Rav Huna ben Yeshua disagree on this issue. Rav Papa holds that the payment of half the damage in the case of a shor tam is not a fine, but it's monetary compensation, which the law obligates him to pay. This is based on the holding that ordinarily oxen gore and require guarding. According to strict law, the damager would have to pay full damages, but the Torah took pity on him. Since his ox was not yet forewarned, it wasn't a muad that has been proven to be a regular damager, that's the case. Now, Rav Huna holds that half the damages paid in the case of a shor tam is a fine, not monetary compensation. And since, in his opinion, ordinary oxen don't require guarding, and according to strict law, such a damager shall not be required to pay at all, the Torah is imposing a fine to pay half the damage so that he'll be more careful in guarding his ox. The fourth Mishnah in the first chapter. So the Torah states that if one man's ox hurts another's and it dies, they shall sell the live ox that did the damage, divide its price, They'll also divide the value of the sell the dead ox and divide its price as well. Or if it's known that the ox was accustomed to gore in the past, but his owner did not guard it, right? He was a muad. He shall surely pay ox for ox. The dead animal shall be his. So we learn from this, as was mentioned in the end of the previous Mishnah, that if an ox gored a shore tom, gored, and it's a shore tom, it's not a regular gore, its owner pays only half damages, as explained in the end of the Mishnah. If, however, the ox which gores is a shore muad, it does this on a regular basis, a warning has been given to the owner, it's already gored three times, etc., the owner is obligated to pay full damages. The Rambam, in his commentary on this Mishnah, defines tom and muad differently. Tom is the name given to that which does not obviously cause damage, and it is not normal for it to cause this type of damage. Rather, it happened by chance. Muad is the name given to that which is accustomed to doing always or most of the time. So let's look at the Mishnah. Chamisha tamin v'chamisha muadin. There are five animals which are a tam, occasional damagers, and five which are muadim, a muad. They're frequent damagers. Habehema ein muedes. An animal is not a muad. Lo legach, not for goring. Velo leguf, not for pushing. Velo leshoch, velo lirbots, velo libot, and not for biting or lying or for kicking. Hashen muedes, the tooth is muad. Leechol, for eating. Es haroila, things that are fit for it. Haregel muedes, the leg, or the foot, is muad. Leshaber bederek hilucha, for breaking as it walks along. Veshor hamuad, and a shore which is a muad. Veshor hamazik brishus hanizak, and a shore which does damage in the domain of the injured party. Vahadam, and a human being. These are all muadim. Hazev, the wolf. Vahari, the lion. Vahadov, the bear. Vahanamer, the panther. Vahabardales, the leopard. Vahanachash, and a snake. Hari elu muadim. They are also muadim. Rabbi Lezer says, Bizman shehen bnei tarbus, when they're domesticated, ain muadim, they're not muadim. Vahanachash muad la'olam, but the nachash, the snake, is always a muad. Ma bein tam lemuad. So what's the difference between a tam and a muad? Ele shahatam mishalem chatzi nezek megufo. The tam pays half the damages from its actual body, from its own value. Vahamuad mishalem nezek shalem min ha'aliyah. But a muad pays full damages from the choicest property. So let's look at this a little more in depth. Chamisha tamin, five animals are tamin. In other words, they don't ordinarily cause damage. And if they did cause damage, their owners only pay for half damages. And five are muad, they ordinarily do cause damage, and when they cause damage, their owners pay full damage. Habehema ena, a beast is not a muad, automatically, not for goring or pushing or biting or lying or kicking, right? And we've already explained that pushing, biting, etc. are all derivatives of the principal type of a horn, of a keren. And since in these actions the animal intends to cause damage, they're considered to be tam. Okay? But the next five are considered to be muad. Hashen wedes, the tooth is a muad for eating what's fit with it, such as fruits and vegetables. The foot is a muad for breaking as it walks along without intention. The shore muad, after it's already gored, pushed, bitten, lain, or kicked three times, it's now a muad, as the warning has been given to guard it to its owner, as we'll explain. Vashur hamazik, number four, the ox entering and causing damage in the domain of the injured party by goring, pushing, or something like that. Even if it's a shore tam, it has the lore of a shore muad, and the owner pays full damages. Now, this is all in the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon. The law, however, is not in accordance with Rabbi Tarfon. It's with the Chachamim, the sages. and they hold that the short Tom pays only half damages, even when the domain was done in the domain of the injured party. Number five, the man is always considered to be a muad. Okay? Now, these next five are considered to be a muad also. Hazev, Vahari, right? We said the wolf, the lion, the bear, the panther, the leopard, and the snake. And owners pay full damages even the first time they cause damage. The Tana did not include them with the previous five, which are muad, because they're not common in inhabited areas, according to the Bartanura. Now, Rabbi Elazar says that when they are domesticated, raised by humans, therefore they're not accustomed to do damage, they're not muadim, but the snake always is. But our law is not like Rabbi Elazar. So what's the difference between a tam and a muad? We said the tam pays half damages from its body, from the body of the damaging ox itself. The damaging ox is sold, and the money received for it equals half damages he pays. If it's not equal to half damages, then the owner does not have to add more from his own possessions. But, so, for example, if an ox is worth 20 zoos, and a gored one worth 200 zoos, the carcass was worth 100 zoos, half of the damage comes to 50 zoos, the injured party does not receive 50 zoos because the owner of the ox which caused the damage can say, take my whole ox and go. It's only worth 20 zoos. Similarly, if the ox which caused the damage died or was lost, the owner pays nothing. But the muad pays full damages from the choicest of his property, from the best of his lands, even if the ox which caused the damage is worth as much as the amount of the damage. Tomorrow, we will go on to the second chapter of Bava Kamma and the first Mishnah.